The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, again, we are so grateful for your presence with us here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to come to you and bring you our worship. Our physical presence here, Lord, is a sacrifice of our time, and you know that, and you accept that, and we're grateful that you see that in what we bring as we just show up. But we also enjoy the privilege of worshiping you in lifting our voices in song, in praise, in testimony, in prayer. The opportunity to open your word and read from it. The blessing of knowing that you are the God who hears and answers our prayers. The opportunity in our tithes and offerings to give back a portion of the material blessings that you give us. And as we acknowledge that, we ask that as a church you'd help us to be good stewards of those gifts. Thank you for Cassie's living demonstration of the ministry of the youth group. And we know, Father, that those things don't happen easily and without cost. And so we thank you for people who are willing to help bear that burden. We thank you for the impact and effect. We thank you for the privilege of being able to witness not only in our homes and in our schools and workplaces and neighborhoods, but to be part of the witness around the world as we support our missionaries. And again, we thank you for what you're doing in and through Brian and Dana in Turkey. We continue to lift them before you and ask physical protection. Turkey is becoming less and less friendly to the gospel, more and more hostile. And yet, even that seems to give weight to their ministry and power. And so we thank you for what you're doing and the progress we see. And again, for letting us be part of that. We are grateful, Father, for, as I said, this day, this time together. We love you, and we thank you that you love us more than we can comprehend. We pray all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Miss Ellie is going to come and do our reading this morning. It's in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 50. Sorry, dear.
John 1, 29 through 50. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to award him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which one translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Thank you, Miss Ellie. It's a privilege to have Pastor Cassie come and bring the word this morning. Brother?
Thank you, Pastor. There are many things you can learn from Pastor Ken. One of them is that he's flexible enough to accommodate with a schedule that is happening as we are planning it at the same time. So I thank God for that flexibility that you have. And I also want to take this occasion to thank you, Perrin, to visit us at Calvary here. You yourself, you have seen it. Not many churches are willing to open, you know, their doors, and though they don't know your kids or our kids, they're still willing to be praying for them and to be contributing to the activity. So we are grateful that you're here, and we're grateful to Calvary Church for their love and for their support. And thank you, Miss Ellie. That was a long reading, but you made it. That's very wonderful. I started the series in the book of John, and today is the second one, so it's a little bit sporadic, but we will do with what we have. Last time when I spoke here, we talked about the Word being God, the Word be with God, and what that meant, and explained that, illustrated that. And today we're going to be finishing the second part of the chapter, and the title today is Jesus, the Lamb and the Master. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for today. It's another gift of life from you. We thank you that you give us this privilege to get together in your house to praise you. Father, even though there might be different burdens on heart, our prayer now is that you open our mind, our ears, to hear your voice. Father, we pray that you show us the way, a way that we live for you, not for us. It's all about you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be the great teacher here to help us understand your instruction, your exhortation, your encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of things have taken our time, and I understand Packers have a game today. So don't be worrying about it. We'll make sure that we cover what needed to be covered here. But without further ado, we're going to look at two main important points here. The first one is Jesus being the Lamb. The book of John presents Jesus as the Son of God. John's task in this book is to present Jesus, the Son of God. Why John wants us to know that Jesus is the Son of God? In fact, why is Jesus the Son of God? What is the purpose? So these are the questions that one needs to ponder about and get the meaning out of it. Other than that, we can just say, Jesus is the Son of God, okay? Okay, so what? You know, God gave him birth or at the what hospital? It's just more than that. The reason why John wants us to know why Jesus is the Son of God. In this section of the chapter, from verse 29, John is saying here, the next day, or the Bible is saying, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's not a guess. That's not a suggestion. That's an exclamation. That's a declaration. This is the Lamb of God. John wants us to know that one of the reasons why Jesus is the Son of God is that he can be the perfect Lamb that can only wash away your sin, my sin. No other Lamb. So one needs to understand that it has to be the Son of God to be pure, to be holy, without blemish, without sin, to be the one to save us. I thank God the way he works. I didn't give Pastor Kenny any instruction about what verse, what hymn at all. I thought about it, but it's like something just said, you don't have to. And I thank God the way everything just came together. So thank you, Pastor. The singing, the verses that we've read, Isaiah 53. Boy, the first time I read that chapter, I was wondering, did Isaiah watch The Passion, the movie of Jesus? Because really, it really blew me away. He described it as if he also watched that movie. But of course, it's not about the movie. It's the prophecy that indeed was fulfilled. Jesus, the Son of God, is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God because he is holy, he is pure. And this Lamb, when he is sacrificed, it's done once for all. Aren't you glad that our sin is not like those things that it doesn't matter what detergent you use in a laundry machine. They will never go away. But the blood of this Lamb takes sin away. Another beautiful thing is that Jesus, the Son of God, being the perfect Lamb, gave us a surpassing gift that no one could ever earn. That is salvation in his name. Because nobody can see God without Jesus. That's why later in the chapter in John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father through me." Though we are very familiar with these verses, but the question is, is truly this lamb. Did this lamb truly, his sacrifice, the sacrifice of this lamb, did he truly wash away your sin? Do you have relationship with the Lamb, with King Jesus, Savior? John bore witness about him. He did not know much about him. And John, he was baptizing with water. But he said Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And it's really, as I was studying the text, it's just amazing. I compare it to, we take shower sometime. I'm from Togo, West Africa, by the way. I should have presented myself, but I hope you can tell by the accent. So it's humid and hot. So even sometimes when you take shower in the morning, you still have to take shower in the evening. And so John baptizing with water, it's so physical. The next day, they're going to have their feet dusty again. But the one baptizing with the Holy Spirit, it's eternal. It's forever. When he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you are being soaked into his life and his blood eternally. The question again is, did he baptize you with the Holy Spirit? I cannot tell. But you got to go deep inside yourself and see the relationship between you and Jesus. John was the one who witnessed to people what he saw. In fact, from verse 35 to verse 40, John was with his two disciples. And then when he saw Jesus, then he said over there, "Behold, the Lamb of God." One thing that I like about the choice of word witnessing is that witnessing is not necessarily just saying. Witnessing is saying something that you know or you have seen, and you are talking about what you know, what you have seen. That's what John is saying here. For me, it's interesting that John said, "I do not know him." But whatever he knew about Jesus, he wanted to make sure that other people know that. Think about that. Sometimes we think it's only the pastor or the pastors or people who are theologically trained that can do this. In fact, I can tell you that Mama Lynette has a more fruitful Lynette than a seminary guy like me. She gives the Bible to people. They never rejected her Bible. Mine got rejected. So, telling you that this is not about necessarily the training, but the willingness to serve the Lord. I know, not she doesn't like it, but I would say the way she just gives people Bibles, Stanley Application Bibles, and great deal. And so I talked to her about this co-worker. I believe some of you have read it in the newsletter that we sent out, and even the note he added to it. I was really shocked to see someone telling me, "This is not for me." And it's like, you know, I work late. He does work late oftentimes. Try to check rest with him and give him the Bible, and then before going home. And the next morning, the Bible is on my office, in my cubicle. And it's like, and I've read the notes, and it's like, this is not for me. And it's like, I don't want to judge him, but I wonder, how can you find what you're looking for if a map, a road map that has been given to you, you throw it away and say it's not for me? It's like, man. But maybe like my wife pointed out before, there were things that happen in the life of people, and so they blame God for it. And so they don't want to have anything to do with God nor his word. But witnessing is still acknowledging where they're coming from, but telling them the little that we know about Jesus, like John did. Jesus the Lamb. Isaiah said that It pleases the Lord to crush him for our sins. It pleases the Lord to choose his own Son, the Son of God, to make him the Lamb, and to crush him for your iniquities and mine. I believe that's really profound. Someone who has closely done that in the Bible, it's Abraham, when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And it's just a typical image God was showing him. It was really tough for him. So maybe Abraham would have got this picture better than I would do. How would he have felt to take your son there to be sacrificed? And Apostle Paul said in John 8:5 that, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's just amazing. And John does not just want us to know Jesus. Oh, Jesus is the Son of God. But why is he the Son of God? Because he is a perfect Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the Lamb, is also a master. Kind of the way they describe him, the Lamb and the Lion of Judah. And sometimes you wonder, how can a lamb be a lion at the same time? But this is who Jesus is. He is a lamb who was slain, humbled himself, was ridiculed in the front of people, but is also the master. He called his disciples. I am glad that Jesus is the master. A master that has disciples, and he wants those disciples to live like him. And not only he called disciples and he tells them, like some priests, some call themselves apostles, say, "Do what I say, don't do what I do." That wasn't what Jesus did as a master. He lived among this guy. They know everything about him. I believe they do more than Mary, his mother, because they were together all the time. You know, they saw him when he was upset. They saw him when he was good. He's a master that is full of compassion and grace. When he saw people, they were hungry, he fed them. When he met people who they were sick, he healed them. When he saw Lazarus dead and he knew that Mary and Martha are destitute and lost and grieving, he rose it. This is the kind of master that I believe you want to have. A master that I want to look up to and do what he's doing, not what my heart is telling me to do. I am glad that Jesus is the master. Not just a master who is lording everything over us, but a master who is saying, "I have lived a life of example. Would you follow me?" Another quality from this master that we can talk about is that Jesus is a man of forgiveness. Jesus is also a man of joy. He's a man of compassion. I've mentioned it before. But we live in a society today that those qualities, characters are going down. We feel like we don't even have a time for each other. We feel like there are other things more important, to the point that it's sad that our kids cannot look up to us and probably say, "I want to be like my dad," or "I want to be like my mom." Jesus, the master, also has a message for any leader. You don't have to be a man to know this or to be this, but that everybody around us will see our example and they want to follow that. If our family relatives, if our siblings, if our co-workers could be our disciples, if we want to train them, what is a couple of things that they can point out and they will love about us? These 12 men, well, not 12 here, but these disciples were glad that Jesus is their master. Continuing on in a verse... In this section, I believe they called him, if I'm not mistaken, the Son of God, at least two times, in verse 34. And Nathanael also said the same thing. But I want to draw a special attention to verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Maybe we'll say today, check it out. Maybe today people are wondering, why are you inviting me to your church? Why are you inviting me to your congregation? Won't that be boring? Well, come and see. Philip spoke with confidence here because he knew that when Nathanael will come to see Jesus, he will not be disappointed. What about us? I'm not trying to promote our church here, but I believe that we should have that same level of confidence and say, check out Calvary Bible Church. Nobody is perfect. There is no perfect church out there for you. Well, someone said, the church is perfect till you join. But then one thing is true, is sure that there are people here to show you love, to show that they care. And Philip is saying, come and see. What a challenging invitation. There is a point that I wanted to elaborate on, so I will move to that point. That is verse 51. Well, I'll read from verse 50 so that we get a picture. Jesus answered and said to him, to Nathanael, of course, "Because I said you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Verse 51. And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." It's like, wait a minute. All along, these people have been calling Jesus the Son of God. Why is Jesus calling himself the Son of Man? That's a little bit confusing. All right. Why can't Jesus call himself the Son of God? In fact, studying it, they said he called himself, I believe, 13 times in the New Testament, the Son of Man. Theologians have a lot of explanation about this. And I don't, to prepare for this, I just read it for reading's sake because I do not agree with them necessarily. Jesus calling himself the Son of Man is not just about a glorification thing. I understand anytime he said, "And you shall see the Son of Man, you know, ascending," or "and the Son of Man will be coming down in glory," and "the Son of Man," I believe it's much more than that. And I was sharing with Alyssa last night, just because the whole week, even since last week, I was thinking about it, and I said, "Lord, if you don't help me to understand this part, then when I'm preaching, I'm going to skip it." I mean, I want to be honest with God. He knows my heart. Because, I mean, I know went to seminary, but it's like there has to be a reason why Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Well, other people say, "This is Rabbi, this is the Son of God." Now, let's look into that statement. Why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man? To give you a clue, not that I'm going to ask you a question, let's say you have, as an example, maybe Dr. Andy at a hospital, and you walk to him, and he did not present himself Dr. Andy, but he said, "Hey, Andy." What does that suggest? Does that mean he's not a doctor? I believe he just wanted to tell you that we can relate. Title is okay, but it's about relationship here. Let's go back to what John said in verse 14 and contrast that with verse 51. From the beginning, John was saying that the Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? Theory number one. Number two, Jesus said, I am the Son of Man, or you will see the Son of Man. Now, this, what Jesus is saying in verse 51 here, if you go back to John 1:14, you can understand that better. I'm going to paint that for you. Maybe you're not going to see it till the picture or the colors are all together. John did not just say that the word that was God was something invisible. He said the word became flesh. He had blood. He had flesh, like mankind. But he's not just like me, a mere man. Why? Because he's the only begotten of the Father. So that means, okay, so John, who you talking about? If I want to get this straight, the person is from God, is the Son of God, but he also a human being. Is that correct? Yeah. John will say yes. But then it's not just that. He has a glory. He has a flesh. That means he's a human being. He has a glory. That means he's above all of us. And he's begotten of God, meaning he's the Son of God. But he's a man. So when Jesus will say, you will see the Son of Man, Jesus is not just talking about glory. Jesus is talking about relationship. I can relate to you. I can feel your pain because I have blood and flesh. I can understand what you're going through. In fact, also saying or considering himself as the Son of Man is also saying that I dwell among them. But Jesus is, like I said again, not just a mere man. Jesus is a man who is the only begotten of God. And John's bottom line is, Jesus, the Son of God, is the Lamb that's supposed to take away our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, is the Master that has disciples. In fact, that will wash the feet of his disciples. People want to be served. No master will get up and wash someone's toes, especially us guys when we take out our socks, stinky toes. And who want to wash that? He did that. And he told them, I am your master, but I'm washing your feet. And that could be done in many ways. There are kids on the street that, you know, you say, what is the parent? But then some of you are helping them. It's washing their feet. And the John is saying that Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb, the Master, is also a Son of Man. Meaning, he has a flesh and he has a rational soul. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not just hanging in the air looking down so you can do it, but he came down here? Read Isaiah 53. I mean, if that wouldn't shock you, then I don't know what else. What he went through. The beatings, the bleeding. Indeed a Son of Man. Now, when you go to prophecy in the book of Daniel, you can get much out of it because the same word was used then. Indeed, Daniel was talking about Jesus. But my point here to close this chapter 1 is that when John said the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, is that John is talking about the Word being God and dwelling with God. This is not a cohabitation, living together separately. No, it's oneness. And in that sermon, I explained you to understand it as husband and wife, becoming one. Even we know it's two, but that oneness is not about the cohabitation. That's what John wants us to understand when he said the Word was with God. Now, to tell us that the Word wasn't something that is invisible, and in verse 14, it said the Word became flesh. And also said that this flesh is the only one from God. And he also said that law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, because he is the Son of God that will wash away our sins. Something we don't deserve. Is it full of grace? Yes. John proved it. It's right there. You can see it. And John also wants us to know that Jesus, the Son of God, is also the Master. The Master of all, has disciples. The Master who knows everything. Nathanael was really shocked when he told him he saw him under the tree. He's like, what? And Jesus' own testimony, because all along John was telling us who Jesus is, and Jesus' own testimony saying, you shall see the Son of Man. Meaning, yes, Jesus saying, I have glory. Yes, I'm from God, but I have a rational soul and flesh, and I can understand you. And I want to have a relationship with you. The question is, Jesus in your life? It never be too late. I've read books about people who've been pastored till they realized that actually they were not saved. And it's not too late, like I said it again. There are many men here. We have Ron, our elder, Pastor Ken over there. Many men here, Steve, myself, Andy, name it. We will be more than happy to talk to you and find Jesus. Because he's the only way. He's the only truth. Nobody know when you're going to die. The sad thing is life has a deadline. The truth is we don't know it. When I was in a school, which probably I'm going to be going back again. I'm fond of it, but you know the deadline. So, you know, this assignment is not due till in April. So, I still have 2 more weeks, you know. Maybe be on Facebook a little bit. And then, when you left with 3 days, then you're burning the candle from both sides. We've been there, we've done that. I'm not going to lie. But unfortunately, I might know the deadline of my assignment from seminary, but not the deadline of my life. Think about that. Father, thank you, and we pray that you help us to know you and have a relationship with you. You being our God, will call yourself a Son of Man to relate to us. And like Isaiah said, by your stripes we are healed. And thank you for salvation work. And we pray for anyone around here. We pray that Satan will not deceive anybody by feeling shy or too guilty or feel like there is no sin you cannot forgive, because there is nothing like that. John said you are the perfect Lamb of God. And your blood is different. It's the perfect blood that can remove even the worst sin. We thank you being the Lamb and the Master. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.